This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Back in On the Drive on 610 Sports Radio, 610sports.com, and the radio.com app. Do us a favor, lock in this phone number, 913-576-7610. Coming up at the bottom of the hour, we'll be joined by Therese Paylor of Yahoo Sports, one of my favorite NFL voices. Therese Paylor will be on the show coming up in 30 minutes. Sean, I've not forgotten about the list. We didn't have time in the last segment to get to the list. At the end of the one big question, we'll get to the list. How dare I deprive our audience from a Levine's list? I don't know what the Levine's list is today, but I'm sure it is dynamite.
It's a really, really good. It's an average list today.
So before we get to the Levine's list, let's get to our one big question brought to you by Honda dealers. Visit your local Honda dealer for a test drive today, or check out the website kchondadealers.com for more info. Sean, this question is for you. I know where I'm going to sit. I know where Rob's going to sit. Who do you think beats Patrick Mahomes first in a football game? Lamar Jackson or Justin Herbert? Because Lamar hasn't done it yet. And you are not going to pick the Chiefs on Monday Night Football or against the Chiefs. You're not betting against the Chiefs. So Lamar just may not have the opportunities to beat Patrick Mahomes the way that Justin Herbert is. Justin Herbert, the way he looked, he might be the quarterback for the Chargers for like two or three more seasons. So he'll get more opportunities. Right now, you love the free $1 million bet. There's a briefcase placed in front of you.
Ooh.
Which quarterback do you think guides his team in a victory over the Kansas City Chiefs first? Is it Lamar Jackson or Justin Herbert?
Well, I the theory that you're saying makes a lot of sense, where it's a division opponent who's very young, so you would think you'll be facing Justin Herbert twice a year for at least the next 5, 6, 7 seasons, and who knows the situation with Lamar Jackson. But the correct answer is Lamar Jackson, because that's actually the guy they're going to face more. Let's say that Tyrod Taylor's healthy, and let's say that Anthony Lynn's a man of his word. When the Chiefs and the Chargers meet again later on this year, they might not face Justin Herbert again this season. I know for a fact coming up on Monday night they're going to face Lamar Jackson, and based on how good I think these two teams are and the gap between them and everybody else, they might have to face Lamar Jackson two more times this year and won't see Justin Herbert until next season.
But I guess I asked the question because you say that you're not picking the Chiefs to lose a playoff game to Lamar Jackson. You're not going to do it. So I know what you're saying. I'm with you. I think Lamar's the right answer. I'm also picking the Chiefs to lose on Monday Night Football. I'm picking them to lose.
Yeah, no, I'm not doing that.
That's what I'm saying is.
But this doesn't have to occur this year.
Okay, my bad.
We're just saying.
At some point, you think Lamar gets him.
Of course.
So, like, once Mahomes gets up, like, 11 to nothing, then he's, like, pity on Lamar.
Oh, hey, I don't know. I don't know if it's 11. But
right now, it's at 2. You think it's going to be at 3. And I assume you think it's going to be 4. They're going to be in the AFC Championship game.
And once it's at 3, if you're Lamar Jackson, if you lost 4 games in your NFL career and 3 of them have come to the same guy, you got to think, oh, hell. Like, I just can't beat this guy. And I hope that we don't see him in the playoffs. So, the mental part of it, Pat absolutely will have a stranglehold over Lamar with a win. But Lamar's just so much of a better quarterback. I mean, let's face it, Justin Herbert might flame out and be out of the league in 2 or 3 years, while Lamar Jackson's already got an MVP, and he's probably the second best young quarterback in the NFL. Nobody's saying that about Justin Herbert. And I saw the Chiefs beat Phillip Rivers when he was in the Chargers quarterback, something like, what was it, 11 out of 12 times? I think it was 8 times in a row. So I wouldn't be too surprised if Justin Herbert doesn't beat him for a while. Well, at some point, you would think Lamar Jackson gets that win. So I'll say it's Lamar Jackson, but I'm not saying it's this year. I'm just saying that he beats him before Justin
Herbert
does.
At some point. We don't know when he's going to beat him.
Not this year. Of course, at some point.
Then I would say next year you're not going to pick Lamar to beat him either. Like, you tell me you're going to pick the Chiefs to lose after they're defending Super Bowl champions?
Back to back? No, oh, hell no.
Next year is when you start the undefeated conversation. I know that you're kind of playing it coy now. You don't want to do it. Let the Chiefs go undefeated this year, win the Super Bowl, and next year you're definitely riding the undefeated bandwagon.
Next week? They go out there and beat Baltimore, and they've taken care of Lamar Jackson and Deshaun Watson? Yeah, we'll be. We might not start it here.
No, we aren't doing anything. We would include me and Rob. No, that's what we is.
Y'all
would be you and Rob.
I don't want to go out on a limb.
You would just be Sean Levine. I am not talking about the Chiefs being undefeated after a week 3 win.
I'm not either.
I might pick it up week 11, week 10.
Well, that's too late. If they beat Buffalo, if they're 6-0 at that point, looking back, and they beat Buffalo,
week 10,
and Houston,
week 11.
Bro, they'll have beat New England, Baltimore, Buffalo, Houston, the Raiders, every team that we're talking about that's good. They play them in the first 6 weeks. So at that point, it's just silly if you don't at least bring it up. I'm not saying it's going to happen. You got to at least start the conversation at that point. It's too early after this game. Now, maybe in Baltimore, there's got to be a Bob Fesco in the mornings out there in Baltimore, Maryland, that if the Ravens win this game and they're 3-0, that will be 15 straight regular season wins for the Ravens. 15 straight, if you include the 12 that they had to end last season, and that would be 3 this year. So at that point, if they're currently on a 15-game regular season winning streak and they just beat the Chiefs, is it really that silly for them to say they can win 16?
I agree with Sean. If the Chiefs beat the Ravens, we will talk about it by we playing Bob Fesco's cuts when he calls
that's
for it Tuesday morning.
Yeah, that's the easiest way to do it, because you know Fesco's going to do it. So instead of me putting my own neck out there, I just say, did you hear what our own Bob Fesco said? And then we can fight back and forth. I'm not going to say it. I'm going to say Fesco said this.
Coming up in 10 minutes, we'll take a trip inside the mind of the machine. Let's take a different trip inside the mind of the machine and get to a brand spanking new Levine's List. Levine's List. I mean, I wasn't going to leave you hanging, buddy.
I appreciate that. Levine's List brought to you by 7th Street Casino. 7th Street Casino, boys. Where it's at. So, you said you watched that documentary that I turned you on to, right?
I did. I watched it this morning. It was actually pretty good.
So, there's a documentary about the Woodlands, the now defunct racetrack out there in Wyandotte County. Rest in peace, Woodlands. I shed a tear every time I drive by that place. These are the top 10 things that I miss about Kansas City. These things used to be around and no longer are.
Do you have losing playoff games number 1 on the list?
No.
Okay, I wasn't sure.
Because I don't miss that.
Chiefs heartbreak?
Don't miss that either.
Do you have overhyping Kansas to lose to an unknown mid-major? That's something I miss about Kansas City. That was my favorite things about it. My favorite things about it was, you know, when you get really excited about KU and every good KU team gets compared to 08, and then they lose to VCU. I love that part about Kansas State. It's my favorite traditions.
And you think that's part of Levine's List?
I was just wondering.
At number 10, the Orient Express. Remember that thing? You walk up the Worlds of Fun. There's that click, 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 click. Those upside down loops, that bright red paint. Ah, how I miss you, Orient Express. At number 9, Metcalf South Mall. Specifically the fountain right when you walk in. There's got to be some rich person in Mission Hills that has that fountain. You guys know the fountain that I'm talking about? Hello? This thing on? The fountain?
I'm aware of the mall. The fountain is beyond my purview.
Sean will ask a question and instantly, you see that fountain? Hello? You didn't give me time to think.
You know the fountain though?
I didn't get a chance.
You know the fountain?
You know I don't fool with roller coasters. You know that.
We're talking about a fountain at number 8.
I'd say it's next to the Orient Express. I didn't go over
No,
there.
It has nothing to do with the Orient Express. This is now at the mall.
I was in Snoopy.
At number 8, Wade's. I miss Wade's because they had the best cheese soup in the world. Yes, cheese soup is a real thing, C-Dot. At number 7, New York Bakery. The best corned beef in the history of Kansas City right there on 70th and Troost. I still don't know why they shut that place down.
I actually have a legitimate question. What makes a cheese soup different than the nacho cheese that you dip the tortilla chips in? Isn't that a cheese soup?
No, because one of them you dip a chip into, that makes it a dip. The other one you use a spoon, that makes it a soup.
That cheese soup was fire. I'll defend Sean here. It was
so
good.
I'm asking
good.
Legitimately, what's the difference? Like, isn't it the exact same? I don't know. Is there any other thing inside cheese soup other than what?
Carrots. They had a little bacon in there.
Into it. Okay.
Yeah, but you could put other things in the cheese dip. It's not the worst question you've ever asked, actually. I don't really know what separates cheese soup from cheese dip.
The quality of cheese
reminds
that too.
Answer. It's the same thing. Nothing separates.
At number 6, these are the top 10 things I miss most about Kansas City.
It's like asking the question, what's the difference between a burrito and a soft taco? They're the same.
Well, a burrito's bigger. A burrito's always fatter than a soft taco. You've never got a soft taco that's bigger than a burrito.
Yeah, it's just,
then it would be a burrito.
Yeah, it's just the big homie version of a soft taco.
At number six, Skies. That was the go-to if you were a Blue Valley student for homecoming or prom. That or the Peppercorn Duck Club, both in the same building. At number five, I probably should have done better research. The Golden Ox. I'm pretty sure the Golden Ox isn't there anymore.
I think it is.
I think it came back.
Did it come back?
Yeah.
Well, if it came back, then they should give me a free steak. Because back in 1989, I had the best steak I ever had.
You haven't been checking for it that much. I don't know why they would now give you something.
Because I'm shouting them out. The Golden Ox. I'll say it again. The Golden Frickin' Ox. At number four, Tippins. And I know I can still get the pies. I'm talking about walking in, looking at the pies behind that piece of glass, and the chicken noodle soup was to die for. At number three, we talked about at the Woodlands. If you want to see the documentary you're referring to, it's called Fun on the Run. At number two, Kemper Arena. And I like what they've done to it. I went up there and hooped the other day. It was a lot of fun. I'm talking about Comets games at Old Kemper Arena with the flaming soccer ball shooting from the rafters. Dun, 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 dun. The Blades, the Big 8 tournament. I'm talking about Kemper Arena, real Kemper Arena.
And nope. No part of me misses Kemper Arena. We have a new Kemper Arena. We have a more improved. Like, I don't miss my iPhone 4, you know? Like, the iPhone I have now, great phone, modern technology. Kemper was great. There's nothing better about Kemper Arena than we don't have in Sprint Center.
The Big 8 tournament,
T-Mobile
though.
Center.
Yeah, the T-Mobile Center. Why don't you call it by the correct
name? My apologies.
Name.
My bad.
Put some respect on that place. And then number one, I talk about them every other show. I say like they're a living, breathing thing because they are, damn it. The Zambezi singer. And I'd say rest in peace, but she lives on down in South America. That is today's Levine's List.
There's
the
one
top 10
glaring omission.
See, what I miss? The Old Spaghetti Factory?
General admission tickets at Kauffman Stadium should be the number one answer.
Yeah, I do miss those.
You guys remember?
Winston's technically still hanging on by a thread. It's not.
Okay.
It's not like technically dead. It's not looking good. It's
that should
on life
have been
support.
On the list.
They've called the pallbearers in. You know what I'm saying? Like it's flatlining,
it's
but it's
more
not dead
than the Golden Ox.
Okay. Did you confirm that Golden Ox is back?
Golden Ox is back.
It is back.
Okay.
Yeah.
Well, then maybe I'll go to dinner there this weekend. Zambezi Zinger still there too, somewhere.
The text line always lighthearted 913-576-7610. Hey, sports machine, your family and country are to die for. Food is to eat.
I'm sorry.
You'd be shocked to know that was a 913 number. You'd be shocked to know it was a 913 number.
My own people calling me out like that? You can tell that, too. That's where I'm from, 913. That's Overland Park.
I mean, he's one. There's no doubt in my mind that person cheers for Kansas. I don't know anything about that individual other than those two sentences. There is no doubt in my mind the person that said, your family and country are to die for and food is to eat. I am 1,000,000. That might be Bill Self himself.
No, that's a Wildcat, my guy. That's definitely a Wildcat.
No,
that's a Wildcat.
It's not even a 785.
No chance that's a Wildcat.
If it was a Wildcat, it'd be a 785. It's a 913. I can feel that person's sending the text while driving by, you know, that Shields soccer complex out in Johnson County. Like that's where they were driving when sending that text.
Coming up in about 20 minutes, we'll be joined by Therese Paylor of Yahoo Sports, one of the best NFL voices around. But coming up, we'll take a deeper trip inside the mind of the machine. Stick around us to drive.
The Drive, weekdays 2 to 6.
Coming up in about 15 minutes, we'll be joined by Therese Paylor of Yahoo Sports. Therese Paylor of Yahoo joining us coming up at 3:30. Listen to The Drive on 610 Sports Radio and the radio.com app. Do us a favor, lock in this phone number, 913-576-7610. That's how you can interact with the show. Before we catch up with Therese, let's take a trip inside the mind of the machine.
Well, the last week of the baseball season is here, C-Dot. The Royals need to win 4 of their last 6 games to hit the overs.
You already know my answer to
this. Hold on. They got 2 with St. Louis. They got 4 with Detroit. So there's a chance.
No, there's not a chance. What did you think Hope Harrison was about?
Oh, God. Don't
Hope
do it.
Harrison
oh, stop.
Was not about their ability to make the playoffs.
Okay.
Hope Harrison was there about their ability to be competitive. You can't sell me this team wasn't competitive if they hit their over on wins this season. Yes, we can. Together we can. What was it? Hutos Podemos? Let's go.
Were you trying to do the Tony Pena?
Isn't that what he said?
I think it was. What'd you say?
I think it was Hutos Podemos.
I don't think so.
It was something. There was Nostros Kremos or whatever was Believe.
That, yeah, that was We Believe.
And then I forgot what the other can was.
If that's what it was, I apologize. I remember that it was. What was his saying?
I think it was Who Told Us Podemos.
I don't think so. 913-576-7610. Hit us up on the text line if you could. Lakers in Denver, game three, CDOT, in the NBA
Come
tonight.
On, you already know. The
Denver
Nuggets,
gets one, though, right? Denver gets one of these
Nuggets,
games.
They had their chance. Anthony Davis ended it. They're about to go ahead and calmly get out of this bubble in four games. Calmly. Thursday night football, you're going to be watching LeBron go to his 10th NBA final. That's what you're going to be watching on Thursday. The Nuggets had a fantastic run. I'm not here knocking what the Nuggets did. You're playing the best team in basketball. The best player in basketball. The fourth best player in basketball. The Nuggets have played probably 8 more games in the bubble than every other team. You done.
I like him tonight. I'm playing him on the money line. Even
I wouldn't be shocked if Michael Porter tries to invite some young lady in the bubble. You know he don't believe in the Rona.
Probably hurt himself if he did. I wouldn't do that. The Raiders are 2-0. Their stadium looks pretty damn cool. You can see the Luxor right out the back of it in Mandalay Bay. You're a Vegas guy like me. Have you ever stayed at just an awful hotel on the Strip?
I stayed at Excalibur one time because I didn't really know a whole lot about it. So I went to go see Jay-Z for the 444 tour, and he was there Halloween weekend. So everything was booked
up. He wasn't there. He didn't play at Excalibur.
No, I'm saying he was in Vegas. So it was at the T-Mobile Arena, and Excalibur is actually the closest Vegas hotel to it. So I just didn't know. So I was just like, oh, cool, it's right there. All right, cool. It's like 5-minute walk, no problem. I got there.
$18 a night plus resort
fee. And then
fee.
I realized, I mean, that weekend it was like $82 because there wasn't a whole lot of available rooms. So I stayed there. I mean, I don't really think it matters that much in Vegas because you're not really in the hotel that much. So it didn't really bother me that much.
It doesn't matter until it matters. Like if you stay, and I've stayed at some of the worst. I think I've stayed at all the worst. I've been to Circus Circus. I've been to the Stratosphere, now called the Strat. The former Hooters Hotel and Casino, that one might take the cake.
Yeah, man, I don't stay at any place that you can't really walk. Like, I've never gotten a car while I'm there. So, like, I would stay at Stratosphere because it's just too much work to get to the stuff that you want to do. So, I much rather stay at Excalibur. It's not the best place to stay in the world, but you're within walking distance of everything that you want to do.
Yeah, if I get in the shower and I feel dirtier, then that's not a good enough hotel room for me. Maybe the El Cortez, now that I think about it, downtown's the nastiest place I've stayed.
Hey,
in
most
Vegas.
Of the time I stay at the Link, though. Like, I would say...
Link's great.
Let's say I go to Vegas 10 times. 7 times I stay at the Link.
I'm with you. Link is perfect location, perfect money, clean enough. I'm with the Link. Celebrity birthday time, Rob. How old is Jim from The Office? I assume he's got a real name.
Yeah, John Krasinski.
That's the dude from Quiet Place, isn't it?
Yeah, he's married to Emily Blunt. There's your fun fact of the day.
Ooh.
Have you
seen Quiet Place?
No, but Emily Blunt is her name?
Yeah. She's
Do you
actually
think
in a Quiet
Berman
Place.
Chris Berman would call her Emily Smoke-a-Blunt?
Probably. He'd probably go, whop! I think he's like 44.
That's actually really strong.
$1 ass, C-Dot.
No, I actually want to try to get this one right. 42.
See, you should have done it. Jim from The Office is 41. Nobody gets a showcase showdown today. How old is Shaggy? Is he? I don't even know who Shaggy is. Is that it? Wasn't
Are
me.
Are we doing Shaggy from Scooby-Doo?
No,
or
no,
Shaggy?
No.
Oh, she caught me on the counter.
It wasn't me. Okay, I was just making sure. Yeah, that's the one.
I just want to understand, if you're going to cheat, why are you going to cheat with your next door neighbor? Like, it seems like to me...
Hooking up the neighbor's never a good idea. I did it
especially
in college.
Especially when you got a girl. Come on now.
Oh, if you got a girl, I mean, come on be loyal. But hooking up the neighbor is the bad... I don't care how good looking she or he is, whatever. It's a terrible idea.
I would understand it if you didn't have a girl, but you're going to cheat with the girl that lives next door at your place? Come on now. Very, very stupid premise of a song.
I would suggest against it, period. Like, I don't even care what the situation is because... Every time you come home and you just want to have that conversation, you guys meet at the end of the driveway because it's trash day or whatever, you don't want to have to look your best or have to. It's just not worth it. It's really not. How old's Shaggy?
48.
Wasn't me.
I have no idea how old he would have been when that came out, but it came out, what, like 99?
He also had that hit Angel. Angel was a fire record. That was a good high school record. Girl, you're my angel.
That's him,
you're
too?
My dog. Yeah.
Oh, okay. Well, then I can't call him a one-hit wonder.
I'll say he's 52.
He's a two-hit wonder, and he is 52, Rob. That a boy.
Angel was a fire record.
Angel was good.
Rob's a huge closet Shaggy fan. How old's Russell Simmons today, Carrington?
He's a creepo. 63.
He is 63. All right. Well,
you know, he had to like move out of the country because of extradition because he's a rapist.
No, I did not know that. Or I would not have brought that up. I had no idea.
I figured you didn't know.
He's the Fat Farm guy, isn't he?
He founded Def Jam. Okay. I mean, that's really where he's from.
SEC play opens up this weekend. Does it feel like there's absolutely no buzz at all for SEC football?
Well, the SEC doesn't play because Missouri doesn't play. Missouri actually doesn't start their season until next week when they play Tennessee. They have a scrimmage this weekend against Alabama. That's like the spring game.
Well, technically, Alabama has a scrimmage against them.
And then next week, they actually – that's when SEC really starts next week.
Is there a line for that game? Because whatever it is, double it, add three, and then I'll probably still take Alabama. And these week one lines are always a little bit hokey.
I think it's Alabama minus 27.5,
yeah,
I believe.
Yeah, double that and add three. I think they cover, what would that be, 57? Mike Pinnell is back this week. How much does MV Pinnell help the Chiefs run defense, considering they gave up a .186 Chargers?
Can they tackle?
No.
I don't think he helps that much then. I mean, their issue right now is a tackling threat.
Right?
They're one of the five worst tackling teams in the NFL.
Well, it was one game. And that hasn't been a huge problem since Bob Sutton. It was really, really bad on Sunday. But I don't think – are you worried about it? Is that a concern of yours?
Playing against the Ravens? Absolutely. Like, the Ravens are the best rushing team in the NFL, and you have a team that can't really tackle right now, whose linebackers appear to be a little bit worse than they were last year. That's a big reason why I'm picking the Ravens to win this football game.
By the way, that Mizzou game opened at plus 28. Little movement, 27. Little belief in the Tigers.
Yeah, absolutely.
You don't even believe in what you just said. Before you get out of here,
I just want to point out the fact that you guys are laughing at Missouri for losing a football game to Alabama when your guys lost to Coastal Carolina again. Back-to-back seasons. Like, you guys had the film from the last game and couldn't adjust enough for they were taking ceramic rock chalks and crushing them with sledgehammers. Now's not the time to get your Missouri jokes off. You want to joke if they lose to Vanderbilt? Have at it. You can't make fun of Missouri yet, though.
Coastal Carolina's a proud football program.
Yeah, they're proud because they keep whooping up on Big 12 schools.
They produce Mike Tolbert. They produce Tyler Thigpen. They produce Jabbar Gaffney. Who am I forgetting? Josh Norman. I'm telling you. Speaking of college football, before we get out of here, it is a college football anniversary today. This happened.
Here's all that kid did. He goes to class. He's respectful to the media. He's respectful to the public. And he's a good kid. And he's not a professional athlete. And he doesn't deserve to be kicked when he's down. That's why I don't read the newspaper. Because it's garbage. And the editor that let it come out is garbage. Come after me. I'm a man. I'm 40. I'm not a kid. Write something about me.
So that is the 13-year anniversary of, I'm not a kid, I'm a man, I'm 40. C-Dot, at what age did you become a man?
Probably like 28, I would say, is where I felt in control from a life sense, a career sense. I would say about 28.
I'm still waiting. I'm hoping that Mike Gundy's correct, and once you turn 40, you become a man. I thought I did, like when I got my driver's license at 16, smoked my first cigarette at 18, had my first beer. You know, I didn't do that before 21. I'm starting to learn that I'm not much of a man at all, so hopefully he's right. And by the time I'm 40, I'm a man. You're now outside the mind of the machine. Brought to you by 7th Street Casino. 7th Street Casino. Where it's at.
Coming up next, we're very happy to be joined by one of the best voices in the NFL, Terrez Paylor with Yahoo Sports. There's a lot to talk to him about. Kansas City's impressive win against the Los Angeles Chargers, and we'll ask him, who does he think has more left in the tank, Brady or Breeze? That's all coming up. Stick around. It's The Drive.
The Drive. 610 Sports Radio.
Very happy to be joined by our next guest. He is one of my favorite football voices to listen to, one of my favorite football voices to read. I subscribe to his podcast with Charles Robinson on Yahoo Sports. His name is Terrez Paylor, joining us on The Drive in the radio.com app. Terrez, how are you doing, my friend?
I'm good. How are you guys doing?
Doing good. Let's start here, Terrez. Which quarterback do you think has more left in the tank, Tom Brady or Drew Brees?
That's great. I think your answer, I'm guessing, is neither. but I actually think so far this season, we've seen a little bit more in Brady. He's pushed the ball downfield. He's actually made some throws. I've studied him very closely the last 2 weeks. And his interceptions were interceptions of communication and timing, not of like a lack of arm talent. What we haven't seen the Saints do consistently is push the ball down the field. And this is something that goes back to last year a little bit too. So that's not to say that like the Saints won't figure it out. It's a very good offense. They were very clearly missing Michael Thomas last week. But I do think, you know, after watching Brady closely, you know, there's more there than a lot of people want to think. He's okay. But they got to keep working. They got to keep getting that communication together.
Therese, you and I have had enough football conversations to know that I know that you're not ready to go out on any limb just after seeing two football games, but it's hard for me to look at Tampa Bay and New Orleans being real contenders if that's the quarterback play. You bring up Drew Brees and his inability to push the ball down the field. He only has 7 passes that have traveled over 10 yards. I just don't know how you win with the quarterback that has that serious limitation.
Yeah, and I mean, this is the perpetual problem, right? Because, like, you know, I'm not going to go that far through 2 weeks, but because, like, things change over the course of a season. Like, they're going to play 16 games. So, like, you know that about me. That's the great thing about the fact we've been talking for so long. Like, I've seen things change. Like, things can change in an offense. But is it a warning sign? Yeah. I will clearly say that, especially when, again, now more than ever, we're in a league where your quarterback's got to be able to, like, pull some plays out from out of nowhere sometimes. When the defense has you covered and they've dialed up the correct play, like these January games are going to come down to whether or not your quarterback can still beat them. Because the problem is, I mean, not every team you face in the regular season is going to be like that. So you're going to go 10-6 and 11-5 or whatever. But when you get to the playoffs and you face the best of the best, good on good, you know, by the second round of the playoffs, you're going to face a quarterback that can do that to your defense and demoralize them. And then it's on you to do it back. And this is the same situation Chiefs fans found themselves in for so many years, where you have a really good regular season because you have a good team, but then you get to the playoffs and then your alpha dog's not as good as the other team's alpha dog. And then it's just like, okay, now we need a little luck. That's why the quarterback position matters. But I also think, you know, that's why it is a warning sign with the Saints not pushing it downfield right now. And that's actually why there were some really positive signs from Tom Brady on Sunday. Like, he avoided pressure one time and ran to his right and threw a dime that LeSean McCoy dropped. That's the kind of play your quarterback has to be able to make in January. But one thing I'll, again, stress, you know, Sean Payton's a really good coach. And there's nothing stopping them from, like, working on this and, like, trying to break this out when it really matters in January.
Therese, one more question about a quarterback in the NFC. What's happened to Carson Wentz? He's completing less than 60% of his passes. I've always been high on the talent of Carson Wentz, but it is now starting to waver.
Yeah, you know what? I understand that. I haven't been crazy about what I've seen from that offense. Like, there are some weapons now. But they've got the two really good tight ends. They've got Jalen Reagor. They tried to get him the football. DeShaun Jackson's been healthy. But yet, they still haven't been able to consistently throw the football. You know, it feels like they're having some communication issues too, because it's not an arm talent deal with this guy. Like, his arm is about as good as you can get, and he's athletic enough to create. But, like, we're just seeing him not get on the same page with some of these receivers. Maybe that changes. Again, more reps. Rager's a rookie, and we knew that rookies might be struggling early this season with, you know, lack of reps in OTAs and preseason, and John Hightower gets a lot of reps too. So, like, maybe it's just that, but I also think, you know, at some point Doug Peterson's going to have to continue to tweak and dial up the concepts they're really good at. One positive sign in the Eagles is that after week one, when Washington got after them defensively, I thought their pass protection was a lot better this week against Aaron Donald, which is kind of a big deal. So, you know, they actually are trending okay. If the pass protection gotten better, Wentz just has to get on the same page with his receivers, because the route concepts and stuff they're dialing are sound. They're fine. Wentz has to be better. He has to stop making careless throws, and he's got to get on the same page with his guys. Again, these are things that can get fixed with reps.
Speaking of fix, Therese, let's move on to the Chiefs game versus the Chargers. If you want to talk about the eye test and really the numbers too, that's about as bad as I've seen Pat play any half of football. Do you think it was just Pat being off, or do you think it was bad offensive line play, drops, a combination of all the above?
I definitely think it was a combination of all the above, but you have to remember a few things here. First of all, the Chargers are always they play the Chiefs offense well, but teams are going to do what has proven to kind of work against the Chiefs, which is what I've been saying for a while. You're going to protect against the deep pass. You're going to play two safeties a lot. You're going to try and keep the action in front of you. And then it's going to be really incumbent upon you to have a defensive front that can get home with four, which the Chargers have. They got two really good edge rushers. And then Jerry Tillery looking like a young Chris Jones. Like, they can get after you up front with four, and they're fast. So, like, technically, they're built. Like, they've been built to try to stop Kansas City's offense. Like, guess what? Travis Kelce went off on Sunday, but if they had Derwin James Jr., maybe that wouldn't have been as easy. You understand? So, like, that, they've actually been building toward having a defense that can at least hang with these guys. But the problem is, you know, and this is what's really unfair, you can do all that, and you can make the Chiefs go a long way, and you can dial up the perfect defenses, and it just doesn't matter because Mahomes will pull something out of his tail, and it's touchdown. That's the significance of the Tyreek Hill play. And we need to give Tyreek Hill credit for going to get it as well. That was a hell of a track, ball track, to go get it. And Mahomes pulled a few other plays out that, you know, other quarterbacks can't do. But, you know, that's the key to beating the Chiefs. And it's no secret now. I think the key to improvement for Kansas City's got to be, again, execution, same page with your receivers, all that, timing, rhythm. Again, that gets fixed with reps. But also, you know, pass protection could have been a little bit better. And I think, you know, get the ground game going, man. Like, you can work on that. Like, if the team's going to play too high and they're going to keep the action in front of you, you got to be able to line up and beat them up front in the run game. And they really didn't do that the way you would like to see, but we did see the Chiefs' offensive line get a lot better as the year went on last year. Maybe we see that happen this year.
Any concern with a couple of these young bucks, Terez, Willie Gay Jr., Mecole Hardman? Again, like C-Dot said, I know you're not one to make any rash judgment after just two games, but I expected more of an impact out of both those dudes.
Well, you know what? I'll be fair. Like, I'm the one who a week ago was like, Frank Clark might win Defensive Player of the Year. So I'll entertain that because sometimes I do. But this is not something I worry about. You know, when you watch Gay play, it's evident he has a lot of juice and a lot of athleticism. It's also evident that it takes young players time to get comfortable in Steve Spagnuolo's system. My hunch is by the end of the year, he'll be playing a healthy number of snaps. And by next year, he's actually going to be a really good player. He can run and hit with the best of them, and he's got an aggressive temperament. I really like him. I think he's going to be a good player. So don't worry about it, and certainly don't worry about Hardman. Like, there were times where I actually think Hardman and Mahomes' like connection is going to continue to get better. Like, there were times Hardman made the right side adjustment, dropped in the right zone, and Mahomes laid it on him perfectly. Like, those are things that are going to continue to happen. And, again, with all the attention being devoted to Tyreek Hill and other players, he's always going to see single coverage, and he's always going to be able to outrun whoever's in that zone or in that vicinity. So, I'm not trying to, you know, just tamp down like everything here, but I do want to remind people the Chiefs are in a really good position, and that those two players are not, I really wouldn't worry about them. I think they're tracking just fine.
Right now we're talking to Terez Paylor of Yahoo Sports, one of the best NFL writers out there. You just mentioned Frank Clark. What's going on with him? Because we've now seen two seasons where he's either not been at 100% or had to miss games with sort of non-football injuries. What are you hearing regarding Frank Clark's health?
I think we just have to go on what Frank Clark has said, which is like it's a stomach issue. It's continued to bother him. He's going to have to contend with it. We know that he lost a lot of weight last year because of the issue. You know, I wouldn't be holding my breath expecting to find out exactly what that is, because that is his business. But I will say this, man, he's a warrior. You know, Frank's going to play, and he proved that last year, and he looked better this year. So one thing we know is, like, you know, when the Chiefs need Frank Clark, he'll be on the field. Is it unfortunate that he's got these issues? Sure. Does it make you wonder, like, you know, did Seattle decide to move on for him because of this? Because he's a hell of a player who's very productive, and they clearly could still use him right now. Sure, it's made me think about that. But, A, the move worked for Kansas City. They won a Super Bowl, and he was amazing in the playoffs. And, B, because of that, he earns the benefit of the doubt this season. When the Chiefs need Frank Clark, he'll be there and he'll show up.
Therese, going back to the game, we talked about this a lot yesterday about Anthony Lynn's choices on not going forward on fourth down. I'm a big believer that if you are playing the Chiefs, you just got to be hyper aggressive. So when you have first and goal from the four, you got to be thinking that's four down territory in overtime when they had a fourth and inches with a chance to continue the game. I'm not punting the ball back to Patrick Mahomes. What was your take on how Anthony Lynn, I thought, played it pretty conservatively?
Yeah, I'm with you, man. I'm 100% with you. I think Kansas City's so talented, so well coached. Like, this is a team that you're going to have to steal possessions on, and you're going to have to be aggressive, and you're going to need a little luck to beat them. So when you get in the red zone and it's fourth and one or fourth and two or fourth and three, like, you got to score to beat Kansas City. Like, you have to score. Like, you can't beat Kansas City playing the Jim Tressel in 2001 game plan of great special teams in defense, and no mistakes on offense. That doesn't beat them. What beats them is playing great defense, winning the special teams battle, and also scoring points. You have to play a great game to beat Kansas City all around. And if you falter in one of those areas, the odds are they're going to beat you. So, yeah, here's one thing I'll say. You're right, but the team that they're about to face is not going to have an issue being aggressive. Baltimore is going to come out at home, and they will be going for it, because they believe they're every bit as good as Kansas City. They're going to show what it takes to beat Kansas. They know the aggressiveness. They're going to follow that game plan. We're just going to have to see what happens.
Therese, for 15 years, the AFC had Brady, Manning, Manning, Brady, and it was just absolute gold for the NFL. How much do you think that their plan going forward is that's what the matchup between Brady and Lamar Jackson turns into?
I'm sure you meant Mahomes and Lamar.
Yeah, that's what I meant. Yeah.
Here's the thing, right? Yeah, for sure. Here's the thing, though, Sean. I don't know if it's just got to be Mahomes and Lamar. There are some great young quarterbacks in the NFL right now. Like, trust me, the league will love nothing more than Kyler Murray to be a bona fide star. And after reviewing his tape the last 2 weeks, I think we're headed there. That guy's going to have a huge season. No matter what game he's in or what or who he faces, he is always the fastest man on the field. He's an amazing player. Russell Wilson is still young enough to probably play for another decade or close to it. You know, there's some great young quarterbacks. Deshaun Watson, that we worry about the organizational structure around him. And then even more, Sean, Trevor Lawrence is going to be a star. Justin Fields, people in the league I talk to love him. The quarterback position is in great hands in the NFL. They want more of the, like, Brady Manning thing. They want that again, but I think now, because of the way offenses have really evolved, you don't just have to rely on it being just Brady and Manning. I think the hope is that there's multiple matchups that can loom out there like that.
How important is it, Therese, that they get off to a hot start? Because this team hasn't had a lead to begin the game since the Calvin Coolidge administration. It's been a really, really long time. I don't think you can do that against Baltimore.
Yeah, I'd say it's less important for the Chiefs than other teams just because of who coaches them and who their quarterback is, but I don't think you want to tempt fate against a team like Baltimore because generally you're right. First of all, let me say that. Generally you're right. Baltimore can really lean on you in the run game. Marshall Yanda retired, but they still beat you up in the run game. J.K. Dobbins looks awesome, even though he didn't play a whole lot this week. I think we will see a healthy dose of him this week. And obviously Mark Ingram, and they're physical. Like, this is a team that can control the football game if you let them get up 17-0 or 14-0. I do think a fast start will help significantly, because what you don't want to do is let them get comfortable. And now, great, here we go. Here comes our design run plays with Lamar. Here comes our zone read. Here comes our power. Here comes our power. Here comes our power. Up, here we go. Play action, tight end, and single coverage. Guess what? You know, they're going to force you to play man, but Mark Andrews and Hollywood Brown can't be covered in man. You open yourself up to that if you fall down. So I actually do think getting off to a good start would be important in this game. I would expect Andy to start dialing up the good stuff from the get-go. I do expect there to be a significant focus from the Chiefs early on. This is a spotlight game. They know everyone's going to be watching. I actually think that will be the emphasis. Get out to an early start, because this is not a team you can really afford to fall down behind, especially given the fact that in the Chiefs' losses, especially last year, like, the teams that beat them ran the football. They gashed them. Baltimore would like nothing more than to follow that game plan.
That is our guy, Terez Paylor with Yahoo Sports, one of the best NFL voices around, joining us today on The Drive. Terez, always good talking football with you, my man.
Hey, likewise. Appreciate it, guys.
That is our guy, Terez Paylor, joining us on the show today. You referenced the game last year between the Ravens and the Kansas City Chiefs. I think one reason why the Chiefs were able to win that football game is they jumped on Baltimore really early. If you remember, Baltimore got out to a 6-0 lead, and Kansas City scored 23 points in that second quarter. You remember last year, those second quarter runs were one of legends. If you're going to jump on a team like Baltimore and then force them to be one-dimensional, you definitely can beat them. I expect this game to be played closely. I don't think Kansas City is going to get out to that type of run. So the running game is just going to be viable for Baltimore the entirety of the game. Can you stay disciplined? Can you tackle better? Can you cover in spacing better than you've done the first 2 weeks?
And you always like to compare the Chiefs offense to a KU basketball team at Allen Fieldhouse, where you might stop them for a couple of minutes, but at some point they're going to have that 14-0 run. They're going to have that 22-4 run. Then the game's going to be over. They did that versus Baltimore last year. They did that in the Super Bowl the last 5 minutes versus San Francisco. They did that versus Houston in the playoff game. I don't know if they're going to do that versus Baltimore. I don't know if there's a series where we watch the second and third quarter and the Chiefs outscore them 28-3 or something like that. These two teams are just so even that I don't think they can build themselves a deficit and win this game.
And I look at Baltimore's defense. I think Baltimore's defense is better than the last time that these two teams played each other. Yeah. Marcus Peters wasn't on the team the last time. And I would say right now Baltimore has the best 1-2 cornerback grouping in the NFL. So Baltimore's a better team. Kansas City's also a better team. They can run the football better than they did the first time that these two teams played. But I don't know how many times, if you're the Chiefs, you can go to the booth and keep asking Superman to save you. I mean, the last, what, four of the last five games, that's basically what they asked in the second round of the playoffs against Houston. Hey, Mahomes, come save us. We're down 24-0. Let's figure out a way to win. In the Super Bowl, down 20-10 with 8 minutes to go, Superman, come save us. In the game against the Los Angeles Chargers last week, you're down 17-6 in the game. Superman, come save us. It's only so many times you get that kind of wish when it comes from the genie, where you just got to start playing better football earlier. My biggest complaint with the Kansas City Chiefs, and there really aren't that many given how good this team is, you just got to get off to better starts the first 15 or 20 minutes and stop. Like, this team's too good, too well coached. There's too much talent for you to continue to put yourself in the deficits that they find themselves in.
Yeah, every episode I saw Superman showed up. Did you watch one where Superman didn't show up?
No.
Like, at some point it probably happened, but, and it probably will happen. The Chiefs, it does feel like they've gotten a little bit reliant on Superman, Patrick Mahomes, no matter what the deficit is. I mean, one of the craziest stats you'll ever see. So Pat has played 6 games so far in his NFL career where his team's been down by 10 points or more. He's won every single one of those games. That's not supposed to happen. Usually when you get down, at some point you lose those games. So, yeah, I think that Pat has proven to be the ultimate kind of safety net for this football team. Back to something Terez was saying, I thought they should have run the football a little bit more. And I'm not one to tell Andy a game plan or anything like that, but we always used to talk about back in the day where the run-pass split just wasn't there. Pat threw the ball 40-something times. They only ran the ball 20-something times. Pat was the leading rusher. That can't be the plan, especially a week after you gave the ball to Edwards-Helaire 25 times. So I think a key also beating Baltimore, CDOT, is stick with the running game. Obviously, Pat is your biggest and best weapon in the arsenal, but Edwards-Helaire is a pretty good one, too. He has to touch it more than 10 times.
Their offensive line just wasn't good enough, I think, to run the football in the way that you want them to. Like, I don't know if the strategy of coming back in that game was putting the game in the hands of the offensive line. I'm trusting Patrick Mahomes playmaking. I'm trusting his decision making. Like, they just didn't really have a whole lot of time to do the things offensively. I'm with you. I think ideally the Chiefs would want to run the football a little bit more and have better balance. I just don't know if Sunday's game was the game to do it.
I'm with you, but Edwards-Helaire to me is the type of back where if you give it to him 10 times and only has 30 yards, you could give it to him 12 times and he has 80 yards because he's going to break off that one and he doesn't necessarily need the great blocking.
Can't you say the same thing about the Chiefs passing attack?
Absolutely. But we saw it for 3.5 quarters and it didn't work. All I was suggesting is maybe at some point you change up the game plan.
I mean, it started working though. Like, eventually, I just think with Mahomes, like, I would say more so at a higher level than what it is with Clyde Edwards-Helaire. It really took one big passing play. They made the pass play to Tyreek Hill. It changed the course of the game, and that's a play that no other player in the NFL can make. Not Russell Wilson, not Aaron Rodgers. So to me, I think if you are going to rely on something, especially if your offensive line isn't going to play up to the par and the level in which you think they are, I'm putting the game in Pat hand, not Clyde Edwards-Helaire.
Tyreek Hill's had so many catches in his career that once he makes the catch, the game's over. Like, it's not actually over, but for all intents and purposes, it is. Remember the pass that Pat made to him in the Baltimore game a couple of years ago, the first matchup? I mean, after that, it was over. In the Super Bowl, after Tyreek Hill makes the catch, I think it was a big momentum changer, and certainly on Sunday. Tyreek Hill, you could say, maybe hasn't gotten off to the huge start that you expected, but I'm talking about, like, when he has to make the catch and when the game is the biggest, especially for the sake of momentum, it feels like it's always Tyreek Hill involved.
Yeah, I mean, it was no surprise to me that this offense got going once they started to get Tyreek Hill the football. Like, there's two things that I think that make this offense truly unique and truly special. I love Travis Kelce, but the two things that make them special is the arm of Patrick Mahomes and the speed of Tyreek Hill,
yeah.
Where you can keep double teaming him. He was double teamed in that scenario, but Pat's good enough and he's just faster than the two guys you have covering him that once he gets behind you, it's curtains. And that's what we saw in the Super Bowl. That's what we saw Sunday against the Los Angeles Chargers. Those are the two most dynamic weapons that they have. And again, I say that as no disrespect to Travis Kelce, but the two biggest weapons and why this offense has a chance to be the greatest all time is the speed of Tyreek Hill. You always have to account for, and Mahomes' arm and his ability to throw the ball on the run.
Oh, no disrespect to Kelce or Edwards-Helaire or a couple of guys on the offensive line that have been all pros. This is an absolutely loaded offense, maybe the most loaded offense this side of the greatest show on turf. But what makes them unique, special, and basically unguardable is Patrick Mahomes and Tyreek Hill.
Coming up at the top of the hour, we'll take a trip around the NFL. Someone in the league compared Carson Wentz to Jameis Winston. How fair is it? We'll discuss it. It's The Drive.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of four lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.